this presidential election season of fall of 2016 is probably one of the strangest, darkest, weirdest times that, certainly in my lifetime, in terms of presidential politics. And so it's the perfect time to be taking out the special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 512, Touring In / With America.
And we really are touring it around America's heartland, and it's One of the things that makes it such an interesting time is much of America's heartland, which typically has voted red or Republican over these many decades, suddenly these states seem to be in play.
Well, and so as a result, yes, the two candidates appear in the show. Donald and Hillary appear on stage in our election edition of The History of America and actually take questions from the audience. And I think they're both kind of equally loathed.
I'm surprised they can both make it to every show.
Yeah.
And it's always a surprise that they're there.
Somehow
I am forced to feign surprise every single performance.
Yes.
But I mean the weird thing is you don't particularly with Donald, though slightly true with Hillary as well, is that you don't really have to make up jokes about Donald, because he's a buffoon and a clown, and he writes his own material.
I play the Donald. I have a lovely comb-over wig and a Make America Great Again baseball cap, and you don't have to write jokes. I just try to watch the news and remember what he says. People ask me questions. I just say what he said, and it gets big laughs. So, you know, make your own conclusions.
Well, because you're imitating him, it gives you 100% permission to treat the audience like shit.
It's pretty fun. every time an old white guy asks Hillary a question, I go, "Old white guys, my demographic, all right."
The bad news for Donald there is that the old white guys are thankfully dying off.
Yeah, or if a woman in the audience asks Donald a tough question, he just says, as an answer, "You're ugly."
Yeah, it's interesting. But I mean, we've been traveling in Indiana, Michigan, Kentucky, Montana,
Utah,
Iowa,
Georgia,
Georgia, and Minnesota. Now, and I would say typically a greater percentage of theater audiences are probably more liberal than not, so that it's sort of self-selecting. But it's been interesting that they've been very tolerant of both candidates that come out.
Well, the first time we did this election edition was a one-off in January of 2016, and we went to what is known as one of the most conservative universities in America, Hillsdale College in Michigan. And it's the first time I had played Donald Trump, and I think Don was playing Hillary in that one particular show.
Yeah.
And you introduced Hillary, and she was booed, and we expected that. And then you introduced Donald Trump, and they booed even louder.
Yeah.
And I think these are sort of old school Republicans, you know, Bush, Romney, McCain, you know, Nixon, Ford kind of Republicans. And this is before Trump had the nomination, and I don't think any of them thought he had a chance. He wasn't anybody they were going to vote for.
Yeah.
Be interesting to go back now that he's the nominee, see what the response would be. I mean, Hillsdale College was a very interesting place because, I think of, you know, college as a place of, you know, experimentation and liberality and progressiveness. And, oh, my God, there's a statue of Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher in the quad.
Well, for you, it was a place for you to stretch the way you think.
I clearly had to expand my definitions of what a college experience is supposed to be.
And they absolutely loved the show. They went crazy for the show. I think they gave us a standing ovation. And that's been the experience. I mean, the fun thing about this election edition is you know, there's both candidates, and we're poking fun at both of them. Then the audience can poke fun and ask questions of whoever they want. I think sometimes when it's not an election and the Q&A in the show is just whoever the president is, it can come off as a little partisan because it's either Bush or it's Obama or whoever is the president. But we're definitely equal opportunity offenders in this version.
Yeah, I remember saying, and you know, when we were making fun of Bush, it's like, oh, you're making fun of the president. And he said, well, listen, I'd have been much rather made fun of President Gore, but he didn't win the election. Oh, hang on, he did.
They loved it when you said that.
Love it when I say that. But, I mean, I think that's true about the show generally, The Complete History of America Abridged. I think it's it is, I mean, I think our politics are pretty clear, but, I mean, it does take as many shots at your Democratic presidents, your Kennedys,
your Johnsons, your FDRs,
your Roosevelts, and although it does take a couple of shots at Lincoln,
literally.
but it's great because it's critical. It's critical of America and our history and some of the darkness of our past in a way that I think everybody sort of understands and can get behind.
What's kind of fun about the show is it premiered in 1993. George Bush Sr. was president, I believe, or I guess we wrote it when he was president, and then Clinton had just taken office, I guess, when it premiered.
Yeah.
And so the final bit is about getting to the bottom of the Cold War, and then the Cold War ended. And so the show has been updated, and it's fun. You were making, I think, this observation yesterday, Austin, that we've had to, you know, tweak the end to bring it into the War on Terror. But in bringing it into the War on Terror, sort of making the connections between policy that happened during the Cold War and how that kind of led to the War on Terror is very fun.
Well, and I think that's one of the strengths of the show is that it finds the funny parts of history, but it also finds the threads that are common from the historical events to the present day. I mean, some of it is silly, like the single bullet theory of presidential assassinations, and it turned out it was also the shot heard round the world, you know, the American Revolution.
Yeah, the shot that, yes, started the American Revolution, that bullet kept flying and got Lincoln, right. Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and for reasons that really can only be explained in the show, Canadian songbird Anne Murray.
By any means necessary! To follow in the footsteps of my brother.
Spread your tiny wings and fly away.
Hi there, I'm David J. Lohr of the Incomparable Network and the Incomparable Radio Theater, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSE the RSE? Our fall of 2016 tour of the special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged continues across 17 states this week, including performances in Alaska, Washington, New Jersey, Ohio, Virginia, South Carolina, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Florida. We will also be touring the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in the U.S. between Thanksgiving and Christmas, with performances in Ohio, North Carolina, Massachusetts, Colorado, and Maryland. And in November and December, we'll be touring the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged in China for 3 weeks. And in February 2017, we'll begin a four-month UK tour of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged. We've got a lot going on, and we'll have more information about all of our overseas tours later this fall. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Reed Martin and Dan Saske, talking about touring America Abridged in America Unabridged.
Dan, you did a non-RSC production of The Complete History of America, and I think actually played a different role than you're playing on this tour. What's it like coming back and playing a different role and doing it with us instead of somebody else?
Yeah, that show I played the Austin role.
Well, you're handsome enough to play that part. That makes sense.
I think that's why I was cast as that. But obviously the big difference is working in the formula that you guys have created with the RSC. But at that time, with our director at that time, Jennifer King, who's brilliant, that's when I met you, Reed Martin.
Yeah.
And when Jennifer found you to get a revised edition of the script with the new Q&A at that time, which was George W., I believe. So great part about that show is having the influence from you coming in and, you know, sitting in on a rehearsal and chat with us for a while on it. And also the freedom to do whatever we wanted as opposed to what you guys do, you know, like making the poem that I do in the show, which turns into a spoken word kind of rap thing, that we made it into a three-person rap. You know, the whole time we had a track, we had a, you know, laid down a track underneath it, and the three of us split up the lines. It was a la the Beastie Boys. But besides that, you know, your script is very clearly written as far as what are the props that come on, how the characters should look. So most of that was very, very similar. But it was really cool revisiting it almost 10 years later, 8 years later maybe it is, and reading the script and going, oh yeah, I remember this. I mean, I didn't say this line, but I remember how the other actor did it when I did this show. And, you know, Reed and Austin will tell me how to actually do it, how they want me to do it.
Well, and you rock that poem. Yeah, it sort of goes into almost like a deaf poetry kind of thing, which you're very, very good at. Now, you're too kind. You didn't say the biggest difference between working with Austin and me and working with Jennifer is the other actors didn't constantly give you notes at intermission and after the show, I'm guessing, in that first production.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I did leave out that is my favorite part of doing the show, is that during the show, sometimes backstage during the show.
Sometimes on stage.
Sometimes on stage.
In the middle of the scene.
Intermission. Let me throw some notes at you, Dan. Which always the fun challenge is.
You are so gracious, and you incorporate every single one. I'm amazed at your patience, and I'm amazed at your skill in incorporating.
And you guys are very forgiving when I'm remembering a note as I'm getting to a certain line, going, what was the note again? And every once in a while, I miss a line because of it.
And eight other things go by the wayside.
but if I get backstage and go, Austin, did you hear when I said that? I also heard when you didn't say the three lines before.
It's like rewarding a puppy who hasn't peed on the floor. Yes, yeah. Dan, we're good job. Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
I am
a good boy.
Well, it's funny. We had to do a couple of interviews for this tour, and somebody was asking me, now, are you going to work Alexander Hamilton into this show? And I said, interestingly, Alexander Hamilton is not mentioned in this show, but we do have those two moments of sort of spoken poetry, your long poem about the Puritans, and then also the whatever it is, 8, 10, 12 line couplets about the Battle of Yorktown. And it's like, oh, right. We already did our rap version of the Battle of Yorktown 24 years ago. I await Lin-Manuel Miranda's recognition of our influence.
This is the biggest tour of one-nighters the RSC has done in America, I think, in 8 years or so. We're playing 24. We're about a third of the way through a 24-city tour, I think 17 different states, going all the way from Alaska to Florida and then Washington State to New Jersey. So it really is the height and breadth of America. And it's fun. It's a show because this is the first show that Austin and I wrote together along with Adam Long. And it's just so deeply in my bones. It comes back. And now we're enough shows in where even just little things like, oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that, or just fiddling. And there's a few I'm sure you're having this too, Austin. There's a few moments where I'm just playing just a little bit differently than I ever have before, and suddenly, oh, there's a nice laugh there.
Yeah.
I think that's true, and I think part of that is the influence of just doing all the other shows. Yeah. Well, and also just, you know, getting bored with doing it the same way the whole time. Yeah. But I was thinking something very similar, because after spending most of 2016 focusing on William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, first rehearsing it, then premiering it at the Folger, and then taking it to Edinburgh and adjusting it there and doing it for a month there. And that was a lot of work, a lot of good work, but a lot of memorization, a lot of acting characters, a lot of getting it right. And I remember we wrote this show, The Complete History of America, Abridged, in 1992 when we were doing 7 performances a week of the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, at the Arts Theatre in London. And we were getting tired. And we said that then, 24 years ago, can't we just write a show where we say funny things and stand there? and that's what we did. And then we wrote America, and then we went, all right, maybe that's a little stoic. Maybe we need to move around a little bit. So we added a lot of some physicality to it. But after spending much of this year working so hard on Long Lost Shakes, it is nice to put on this show that fits me so well and that I'm so comfortable doing that I really can literally roll out of bed and get up and do the show full bore.
Well, it's like hanging out with an old friend.
Yes.
After a while, you know, it's just like you just pick up where you left off, and it fits like a glove.
What has been great is that both you guys have developed. So we take questions from the audience, and that's always an improvised section, and we don't know what people are going to ask, and sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get them to ask anything. But finally, once they do, and the bottle is uncorked, then the questions just start flowing. But there's been a couple of times where you guys get questions that I think are just the questioners think they're going to nail you on these questions, and they're good questions and they're funny questions in themselves, but you both have great answers. And one is that for Trump, they ask you whether your hair is real, and you've got a pretty good answer to that.
Yeah. What do I say? Well, you know, is my hair real? That's a great question. You know, a lot of people ask a similar thing. Am I a real Republican? And the answer is no. I'm Donald Trump. I'm not a real Republican. And so, when I become president, I'm going to abolish the Republican Party and reestablish the Whig Party.
Well, and Dan, as Hillary, you've gotten a couple of questions from folks saying, well, when are you finally going to go to trial for all your misdeeds, or what really happened with the emails or whatever? And you've got a pretty great response as well.
Yeah. Feeling sorry for Colin Powell and George W. Bush, who were not investigated on any of the State Department employees killed by terrorists, and the Colin Powell private email server that he had actually suggested to Hillary, and and playing with the "I feel so bad for them."
Yeah.
They never got all these investigations.
Yeah, it's like the old red buttons routine. Another girl never got a dinner, and all these people never got an investigation.
Dustin Sullivan, who played the third role for a few dates on this tour, somebody asked about, why isn't Gary Johnson part of this debate tonight? And Dustin just improvised. He goes, well, Gary Johnson is a libertarian candidate, so he should feel free to get lost. The other kind of fun thing about the America show is at the end, not unlike the Ten Commandments in the Bible show where you have to come up with current events, in the end, the conspirator guy who plays the bad guy in the spade diamond section towards the end has a whole list of things that he's claiming responsibility for that he's done. And so Austin always has to come up with, you know, four or five new ones depending what's in the news. And there's one that says, you know, I'm a split personality like Jekyll and Hyde. And it used to be Beavis and Butthead, or it was Anne Heche, or
Miley
whatever.
Cyrus.
Yeah. And so now you're going, I'm a split personality like Jekyll and Hyde, Bill Cosby. And people go, ha ha, ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
And then you've got, you're talking about, you're responsible for Ryan Lochte and Colin Kaepernick. And yeah, that's pretty fun.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your question for either candidate via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, highly placed source within the campaign Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Cassandra Carolina. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to David J. Lohr of the Incomparable Network. Check out all the podcasts and radio theater David and his basket of incomparables are producing over at theincomparable.com. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tichner, 512, 1536th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
You know you've got it right at the end when they applaud the conspirator guy's death.
Yeah.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.